In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today about one aspect of mothering, which is the letting go. That is a difficult thing for most mothers, and I want to tell you a little story that illustrates it from the world of nature. When my husband and I were away on a trip one day, the young man, the student who lives in our home, and we always have a student living in our home, he noticed that a man down on the rocks by the ocean had caught what appeared to be an enormous fish. And so he quickly rushed down the bank to the rocks and discovered that the man was holding in his arms a baby seal. Well, I have only seen one seal in my life off the coast of Massachusetts. They don't often come down here. My husband Lars did see a couple of seals one day, just their heads bobbing out of the water, but this was a baby seal that this man had picked up off the rocks. He said it appeared to be asleep. Well, the student came rushing back to the house and got all excited and called the New England Aquarium in Boston to tell them about this, and they said, well, there's nothing very unusual about that at this particular season because this is the weaning season, and the mothers give the babies exactly, and I've forgotten the number, maybe 30 days or something like that, exactly X number of days when they can continue to nurse. And when that number of days are up, the mother dismisses the baby. And he said the babies sometimes get so frantic looking for their mothers that they swim against the tide and they get so exhausted that there's nothing to do but go up onto a rock and take a nap. So he said, just put the baby back into the ocean and he'll be fine. He'll find his way and he won't starve to death. We also read in the Bible how eagles stir up the nests. And I've read about that also in nature books, that when it's time for the babies to learn to fly, then the mother eagle or the father eagle will actually stir up the nest and shove those babies right out. And if the nest is right on a cliff, there may be thousands of feet below them. And then the parents will fly down and spread their wings so that if the baby is not flying very well, they can bear him up on their wings and then let him go again. And this happens again and again. So in the world of nature, the mother bird or the mother animal knows that there comes a time when the baby must be considered independent. Well, we call that cutting the apron strings, don't we? And it is difficult. It is painful, even that first separation when you wean your baby. I remember feeling deprived when Valerie no longer nursed. And then the next separation may be the first time you put that baby in the nursery at the church just for an hour or so. And when that child goes off to kindergarten or nursery school or school, whatever is the first time that you separate yourself from him, how painful that can be. And a mother writes, I'm so glad that I can be a full-time wife and mother. Michael has just gone off to first grade this year, and it's been hard to let go. As I relinquish the control, I see more and more the need to pray for my children and for the school. But I'm discovering in myself a deep fear for them as they approach the teen years, since I know there is no guarantee that they will continue in the Lord. In their own way, they believe the good news of Jesus and acknowledge him, but I know the time is yet ahead when they truly make it their own, as in my life. Still, I know that God doesn't give me a spirit of fear and that I should have no anxiety, but instead should pray. I know God loves them more than I do, but they still have a free choice to accept or reject him. My prayers don't bring a guarantee, do they? So you see what I'm struggling with now. Do you have anything that would help me think this through? It definitely has driven me to my knees. Well, I'm sure I can't give her anything more helpful than going to her knees, and I'm so glad that she knew that that is the place to go. Another similar letter about cutting the apron strings was answered by my dear friend Alma Griffin. And after she has replied, then she sends it on to me. Sometimes she sends me letters that she doesn't feel she should reply to. Well, Alma Griffin wrote this reply to a mother who had called to say that she just could not let go of her oldest daughter, even though the daughter wanted to go to a college 300 miles away. The mother and father had convinced her to enroll in a local Christian college. So Alma's reply to this mother, who is sorrowing over this apron string cutting, writes, "It was a delight to visit with you yesterday and to share the struggle you were going through at this time in regard to facing the exciting yet difficult time when children grow up and graduate from high school and step out to pursue further education. I'm sure it is the desire of every godly parent to see their children know the Lord, learn to love the Lord, and desire to serve the Lord. And I like what Barbara Tompkins said in today's talk with Elizabeth, that her husband sees the potential children have, and he says, 'I see this for you, and I will help you make it happen.' I guess that's the bottom line, relinquishment, and helping our children individually choose to fulfill God's purpose and plan for their lives. God gives us our children as a gift from Himself. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth." That's Psalm 127, verse 4. "We desire to fulfill Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, and train, teach, discipline, direct, instill values, and then release them to all God has for them. May this be your joy, to hold them with an open hand and surround them with a hedge of prayer." I like that phrase that Alma uses, a hedge of prayer, trusting the Holy Spirit to guide and guard their footsteps. "I deeply share the tug of your heart as you anticipate college years ahead. But remember, your daughter will only be a prayer away and a telephone call away. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May this be a great year of anticipation as you wait on the Lord and see Him make straight paths for your feet. Sincerely in Christ, Alma Griffin, Gateway to Joy." And then she puts a P.S. "I would be the first to say that it's not easy at any age to release our sons and daughters." And Alma happens to be the mother of five and the grandmother of 10. "However," she says, "as we allow our precious ones to leave the nest and soar to new heights to honor God through further preparation and schooling, we give them the freedom to stretch their wings and put into practice all they have been taught. We need to remember that they, too, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Ponder the thought, at what point do I feel I would be ready to release my daughters? May you be confident and know what the will of the Lord is for the year ahead." And that's the end of Alma's letter. I'm so thankful for dear Alma. She has such wisdom. She's so loving. I think she's probably much gentler than I am. And I'm very grateful for the help that she gives. I'm thankful for Brent Matz, the engineer, and so many others whose names I can't mention. We do the taping of the programs in Massachusetts, right near my home. So God bless all of you. And when you, listeners, pray for this program, please don't just pray for me, but pray for all the people that make it possible. I want to go back to that question about the mother's fear for her child. How well I know the temptation to fear when I think of the terrible world in which my grandchildren are going to grow up. It does, humanly speaking, make me tremble. You know that old song, "Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble." And I think of the verse in the Psalms, "What time I am afraid, I will trust." I love the juxtaposition there of the emotions and the will, because we are creatures of many conflicts, aren't we? Our emotions are very often diametrically opposed to our will, and sometimes we think maybe we can act solely by the will or solely by the emotions. But the psalmist is very realistic, isn't he? He makes it very clear that he does feel fear. That is an emotion. But there's also something he can do about it. And that's what you and I can take strength in. What time I am afraid, I will trust. The occasion of fear furnishes us with the occasion of obedience. I trust that you are strengthened and encouraged in your resolve to let your children go when God's time comes.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.